All right, we are back.
Hello, everyone.
Yes, welcome back to another episode of Girls with Fun. How are you today?
Good. I'm pretty tired because we are recording on a Friday after work, so I'll try to keep my energy up, but I'm very happy it's the weekend. How about you?
Yeah, I'm like so ready. Okay, so let's start off with our first topic. So big news for us. We hit 10K downloads. So woohoo. Yeah. How do you feel?
Awesome. When you texted me, I was like, does she mean, like, is there an extra zero in here? But, like, I knew we were on our way there, but it feels like we just hit 5K and I was very excited. So, yeah, it
Yeah.
just, like, didn't quite compute, I guess I could say. But I'm super happy. I'm honored for everyone who chooses to spend their finite time with us and enjoys listening in. It really sometimes does feel like it's just two friends chatting. So I'm grateful that there's people that listen and enjoy our content. And we're so happy to interact with you guys. I won't go into details since, the person didn't share like a ton of information, but we got like a really nice note to our social media yesterday. So we definitely see everything you guys write, and it makes us happy too, because it's not like we profit from this. It really is a labor of love. So we're very grateful to all of our listeners and for the nice comments people leave.
Yeah, to your point earlier, we hit 10K like really fast. And so like our podcast is very much organic. Like
Now I'm tuning to be all about it.
we're not making this from some studio. We're not like supported by some like larger like podcast platform or something. Like this is really like all us. We're definitely not like big accounts on Twitter, so we have like a massive following that like we could drag along with us to listen to our podcast. So like really we started from like rock bottom. Like just like, our friends listening, and it has like really branched out. So it's really touching to know that many people have listened to us and are still listening to us. And it just continues to grow. So yeah, it just feels good to validate that we're not like doing this for nothing.
And I don't want to, I mean, of course, no one wants to worry too much about metrics and like what the numbers say, but it's kind of hard. Podcasting is sort of solitary, I mean, there's two of us, but in general, it kind of feels like speaking into the void. And so the metrics are like a helpful way to know that people are listening. So I'm very grateful for people that have tuned in and people that will tune in the future. And the fact that two friends can make a podcast that charts around the world in music and music commentary just blows my mind. That felt like a
Yeah.
low-key flex. I didn't mean it that way, but I'm just in shock.
Yeah. I know I probably shouldn't be like doing this or even thinking about this, but like there has been times in the past where I have seen like other podcasts' numbers and I'm like, "Dang, like how did they do that?" And then I try to like justify everything like, "Oh, 'cause they have this or they have that or whatever," but trying more to just focus on like the good things and like what we have now. And so I am really grateful for, everyone who's tuned in, even if you're not still listening. And those who are, like, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm
I
more grateful to those people.
yeah, I'm just thankful, like every view counts, so I'm not gonna be like, upset about it. I hope that the people that have been listening from the beginning are still listening. But yeah, I'm just really like happy to see that and to see our growth because we really like when we had that super long break because of COVID. I was like, okay, are we gonna like start this again? Like, how is this gonna work out? And we have really like taken off since then.
It's
I
been
don't
really
know.
meaningful for me as well. I mean, yes, it gets super annoying to edit. I'm not going to sit here and act like I love editing. Like, the editing is definitely the worst part, but the best part is just like that there's kind of some structure and some happiness in my days too, because we're going through the pandemic just like everyone else. So I'm grateful that we have this.
Right. And I don't know if like the increase in interest in our podcast anything to do with the pandemic? Like, maybe that has geared more people towards listening to, like, things online. I don't know what it is, but either way, I'm happy with the outcome, and I hope that we, you know, continue to grow and try and, like, challenge ourselves and what it is that we're doing, like, the content that we produce, keep coming up with, like, new creative ideas for us. So yeah, I'm excited to see where it'll go.
This far exceeds, like, where I ever thought we would get to, especially because our growth, as you pointed out, was so kind of slow, and friends of friends for so long. So I'm very grateful, but still humble and excited to see where we go in the future and where we can grow from here.
Yeah. It also is kind of scary to think about, right? Like, thinking about, like, potentially where it could go. But I'll try not to, like, rely on fear too much.
Yeah.
It is positive
when I think about, like, maybe everyone feels this way, right? It is, as you said, an organic growth process, and so listening to older episodes for me is kind of like looking at your high school yearbook. Like, you know that it was important that you did it and you were learning so much and growing, but at the same time, you're like, oh my goodness, if I never see this again, it's good enough for me. Yeah. So yeah, it can be scary. And to think that, you know, over people have heard our voices over 10,000 times, whether they're some are probably repeats, right? So I won't say 10,000 people, but yeah, it's scary, but I think anyone who would be listening would want to be here, right? So
right.
I feel like I'm among friends.
Yeah, I know, right? Let's just get into our content for the day. So I'm going to start off with this topic since it kind of goes in hand with our last topic that we talked about on the podcast. So Army sent, like, protest trucks outside of Big Hit, and I found that very interesting. Let me open up the actual article so I can get the full details. So they sent protest trucks in front of Big Hit Entertainment's building, saying the company has lost their roots and cares too much about stocks. It says that, it says the company, wait, hold on, I already said that, blah, 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 blah. Wait, no, the protesting trucks pointed out that the company has lost its roots, and they only care about profits and the stock price. Fans also requested for the BTS-based youth drama to permanently stop production, and fans also expressed their anger about the joint concert, claiming that Big Hit Labels is trying to use the group popularity. Fans posted a statement saying Big Hit Entertainment is trying to use BTS to gain recognition. Big Hit Entertainment stated that they would decrease their dependency on BTS and plan the joint concert, but this concert is only using BTS and ARMY to gain success with the joint label concert. Big Hit Label also stated they would have a different, or they would have a joint concert every year with a different theme, but that is taking away a chance for BTS and ARMY to meet every year. The company has also made ticketing prices very high despite being a concert that is with all other artists, not a BTS solo concert. It is a price that is too high for all fans, not only BTS fans. I'm reading this from All K-Pop, by the way. What do you think?
Yes, like, Big Hit is a publicly traded company. Of course it's going to care about profits. Like, that's how it works. So I get it, though. I do get it. I feel like this endless stream of merch that we complain about all the time kind of makes me feel that way. Or, like, you know, really money grabbing from RME. But no one is forcing you to buy anything, right? So, like, right. You can choose to not purchase on Weverse, or you can choose to not buy a concert ticket. Yeah, I will say this. I personally speaking, I'm not super into the Bangtan universe. Like I didn't actually read the full like webtoon on the Naver webtoon app a couple of years ago. I did buy the lyric books recently, but I've never been like a theory army, or like I've never really been able to connect the dots. Like I feel like the "you didn't connect" crap meme, you know, like I just like don't, I don't know, either have the brain power or it's just not how I choose to engage in the fandom. I did think when the webtoon came out and the books, it is this weird blurring of like the members of BTS the product versus the members of BTS the people. So I can sort of see how people feel strange about the drama that's being filmed. I think it's kind of weird. That's my own personal opinion. I'm not gonna like shade anyone for watching it. I guess long story short, TLDR. Yeah, I kind of think it's weird. I get how you feel like they're going all in, but of course, like on profit, but of course that's what they're doing. Like any other company would do that. But as the consumer, you choose whether or not to engage. I will say this quickly, that I do think the protest trucks are too much. Like, it just reads as really extra. And that's all I'll say.
I agree. So I agree with some of these points that they've brought up, and some of them I do not. So I think it's kind of weird to say that they're a company, like you said, who's obsessed with profits and the stock price. Like, they're a company. Like, I don't know. Like, I feel like that's probably in most companies' business models, especially ones that have to have, like, worked from, like, the ground up. They probably dream of being in the position that Big Hit is in now, like, to enter into the stock market. Like, that's insane, right? So, of course, they have to do things in order to generate profit, enough profit to keep them, like, on the stock market, to keep them where they're at right now. So, like, yes, they're going to do these things. And some of these things are annoying. We have talked about them multiple times. But you know what I do? I just don't buy it. I just don't buy into it.
Yeah.
Because I don't have to, right? There's going to be people that are going to pay for it anyway, and they're going to make a profit at the end of the day. So I'm not going to knock them for whatever tactics they use, unless they start like clearly abusing the fans in some way, like they're clearly robbing money from them, like, okay. But if they just are there, if they're doing something like putting on a concert and it's too much money, like, just don't go. I do think it's ridiculous the amount of money that the concert tickets cost. That I think was absurd, because it was a lot of money that they were charging for a concert, which I don't even know how they would be able to put on in the middle of Rona. Like, aren't cases getting worse in Korea right now? So I don't even know if they could have those in-person concerts. And two, I'm pretty sure it has to be limited because it's a concert in the middle of Corona.
Like, wait, they canceled the in-person part.
Virtual.
Yeah.
Okay, yes. So they canceled the in-person part. Good. But I think they're still charging like quite a bit for the online portion. Which I think is ridiculous, considering that it's a concert for all fandoms underneath Big Hit, or at least all the artists that are going to be there. I don't think it's just Big Hit artists. That's a lot. That's a lot of money. So I can understand the outrage there.
Yeah.
But like protesting them for that, like for them like trying to make money, I think it's weird. I also don't necessarily agree about the drama, like protesting the drama, like stopping it. So I like the books. I like the webtoon. I've only read the first book. I haven't read the second book yet. Mm. But I do see how fans can think it's weird because they all have their same names.
Yeah. And
so far, I mean, because it's been through music videos as well as the game, they have made all of the characters of the book look exactly like BTS because BTS has played them.
Yeah, you're blurring like reality and fiction, which is fine. It's basically like a company sponsored fan fiction. Okay, but the thing that's weird about it, like, so I personally find it weird in general, like the mixing, using their faces for like fictional characters, whatever. But it's been around for a while, so I find it strange that like the drama is what's setting people off. Is it because they think it will reach like a broader audience, or it will be shown on TV and not like a book you actively go and purchase? Like, I like they've been doing this for years, so I don't understand why the drama is the issue. Or is it the issue that it's not the members playing themselves? Like, it's not Jungkook as fictional Jungkook. It's someone else's fictional Jungkook.
I think it's just like the members. The members not playing who they have been playing for years, right? I mean, because the like little promos they were doing for the game,
yeah,
it's like drama level like promos, and they were like genuinely acting. I mean, I don't think they had any speaking parts, but I mean, Namjoon was like dodging fire and stuff, like it was really serious. I don't know, I just felt like it was really serious. So I'm like, they could play in their own drama, and it wouldn't be the first time that a company has made a drama for their artists who aren't like usually actors, but they have them in their own drama. I don't think it would be weird.
And I feel like ARMY would be on board for that, because it would be like more content, more time for us to see them.
Exactly. And I think that's why the fans want it. But I do think that it would take a lot of time away from what BTS is doing. And I don't know what they have up their sleeves for like the upcoming months, but maybe that's just the reason why they're not able to physically be in the drama themselves. Maybe because when the drama was like even thought of, you know, maybe it was pre-Rona, so they were supposed to be on tour, they were supposed to be doing like all of these things, and like their momentum wasn't going to stop. Now it could be a different situation where they could do it, but then it goes back to, do the members want to be in a drama themselves? Like, well, do they feel like they could like be full-on actors other than like Tae, I mean, and Jin, who like went to school for it? Like, do the other members want to even be in a drama?
Well, for some reason, I thought it was supposed to be, like, a younger them. And part of the reason is they want to do, like, a backstory for Bangtan Universe, right? Since it's called Youth, they want to go to, like, pre-most beautiful moment in life level theories, right? So, All the members are, like, way too old at this point. And I say that with love, right? Like, they're grown men to be, like, how are you going to pretend that, like, 23-year-old Jungkook, who is coming for us violently, 25-8, is like 12 years old or 14 years old.
Yeah, I'm glad you pointed that out, because in the promos for the video game, I was laughing so hard because they had Jungkook sitting up there looking like he was in like middle school or like first year of high school. He's like all swole around these like 14 year old boys. It just didn't look right. So imagine it in an actual like TV drama.
Okay, right, like June just gets thicker by the day. I'm supposed to believe he's, you know, 14 years old. There's no way. Any of those like teen dramas on the CW or HBO, right, where they have like 35 year olds playing like 17 year olds, and you're like, no.
And I hate that. I'm like, I'm supposed to believe that this grown man who could like be my father is supposed to be my age in high school? Like, no, I'm not believing this. Yeah. So, not that I think any of the BTS members look that old, but yeah, like it just wouldn't work. Like, it worked when the music videos were coming out at that time with like I Need You and like Run. It doesn't like really work now. So like,
but even that was 5 years ago. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Can change in 5 years.
Exactly. I also feel like the books, okay, I really did like the first book, but I feel like there was so much left out because of the way it's written. It's written like the notes.
Yeah.
So there's like a lot of like plot that I feel like is missing, and I don't know how they would actually bring that off paper and onto screen. I guess if they have a great writer, they could do it. But I feel like there was so much left unsaid in that first book. I need to read the second one to see if it, like, elaborates more and goes more into detail. But, yeah, I don't even see how it could be translated onto some kind of, like, screenplay.
Yeah. It does feel kind of like, as we talk about the screenplay and we talk about the books, and we talk about the lyric books, and I'm thinking about, like, they released the Learn Korean with BTS, like, Tiny Ton recently came out. Now they have, like, some series. I'm always getting notifications for, like, Bon Boraj, which, like, Bora is the main character of the Learn Korean with BTS books. It's so much. Like,
yeah.
It is a lot. Like, I kind of do understand where these army are coming from, because it's just, like, literally every day there's something. And, like, that can be great, and or it can be bad. Like, I think part of the reason army drops stacks when it comes to BTS, right? Everyone's always like, I'm broke, and then, like, merch drops, and we're all like, run. Like, the like, you know? But it's like this culture of FOMO. I think we've talked about this before, but
yeah.
I mean, okay, so you and I are like, we can choose to not buy the end of year concert ticket, or we can choose not to buy XYZ product. But like, if you're constantly feeling like, oh, I can't buy this, oh, I can't buy this, oh, like, didn't get that, like, it could wear on you eventually, and mm-hmm. you would feel like the fandom is. My fandom is not as good, which, okay, someone should not feel this way, but I've seen people tweet on Twitter how, like, I can't afford to buy XYZ thing, like, I feel really bad, and, like, your fandom should not be based on, like, the physical items that you buy, but, I mean, so much care is, like, put into the packaging, even for albums and stuff, that, like, the physical is a real part of the fandom, so I can see if you are constantly missing out on that, how that could wear on you.
Yeah. Yeah. If ARMY really wanted to, if we really wanted to show that we're not pleased with something that Big Hit is doing, collectively as a fandom, if we just didn't buy something, that would show them that, like, we don't like this. So instead of sending a truck outside, everybody, I'm not encouraging people to do this, but like, if you feel some kind of way, don't buy the ticket, and when they see that there's like low sales, then they'll be like, oh, maybe we shouldn't do this. But even exactly. So I feel like the whole reason they are doing this concert anyway is because of the whole drama with NBC,
yeah,
like in the last podcast. So I'm like, how do you hear that news
and then not want to support
the show? Yeah, and then you don't want to support. So
yeah,
I don't know.
Well, honestly, I didn't want to buy the concert ticket. I was like, so I'm paying for like a end of year performance, because you don't pay for NBC, right? Although some people paid for the FACT Music Awards. I think you said it was on V Live and you had to pay. But after I heard like what they were trying to do with that, I was like, oh, maybe I will. So I guess I understand where people are coming from. It is expensive. And like, so we can again wait for BTS to come on at the very end for like 4 hours, right? Like, I'm not trying to be salty. I'm just like stating a fact. Plus I'm not going to go there. but Now that I know what they're trying to do, it does make me want to support. So maybe don't send a truck outside. Also, trucks are not free. So you can't buy merch, but you're paying all this money to send some trucks. Like, don't
that part. Like, yeah, that part. That could have went towards your concert ticket. Like, what's up with that?
It's just like, are we going to just start sending trucks every day? Like,
that seems to be the wave now. I've never seen this many trucks in my life. Not just with BTS, but like all fandoms are sending trucks outside of their companies now. Like, you're displeasing me, I'm sending a truck. That's the new move.
I was going to say, watch for trucks. Or like, it'll become slang term, like, there's trucks outside, and people will be like, dang, really? That's so bad.
Exactly.
What have we done now?
Moving on to the next topic, BTS did a genius breakdown for Life Goes On, and I was really happy to see this, because I don't think they've ever done a genius breakdown before. And whenever I go on Genius for BTS, it's always like fan-made comments, so it's nice to actually see like their own perspective from this song in detail, because usually when they do interviews, it's just like they say like pretty much the same thing like over and over again, but this time we get like a complete lyrical breakdown so we can hear every thought behind the lyrics. And one of the moments that stuck out the most to me was they were talking about like, or I think it was Namjoon who said specifically about like the on my pillow and on my table, and how it was like, I guess the lyrics of the chorus are just constantly bringing up kind of like continuity or like continuous movement, and that on my pillow meant sleeping and on my table meant eating. And so it was just kind of like showing continuous movement, like with the arrow and the blue sky and like all these things are going to happen like no matter what. So like life goes on. And I never really thought about it in that way until Namjoon said it. I'm like, oh, it makes so much more sense now. I'm like, oh, I like this song even more. So it was just little things like that that just, I don't know, brought like more life to the song. Also, you got to like hear them sing, like no like backing tracks, just like straight vocals. So no one can watch this video and be like, oh, those guys can't sing. Like, no, like they're here. They also like live for like Yoongi's part, which I find funny. Like they were like going in on that part. Also, I want to point out, because I think it's really important. So Hobi also had a ring on his left hand, on his ring finger. And I want to know, where's the outrage? Where's the, like, where's the anxiety? You know, where's the intensity? I did not see the same energy, you know, that everyone's had for Namjoon, you know? Like, everyone's been freaking out lately because this guy keeps, like, switching his rings around on his hand, like taking them off and like hiding them, and the Taiwan's freaking out. Like, is he married? Yeah, like I just wanted to see.
Oh, you really got to stick the knife back into this wound that never scabs over because people keep just like repeatedly stabbing me. I'm sure if you type Hobi Ring into your Twitter search, you will find that corner of the internet freaking out about Hobi. But I think the thing with Namjoon is that like he has those rings repeatedly, and he's like showing off baby shoes, and he is always like, I want to be a dad, and like all of these things together just make people feral from a purely research perspective. I assume this is the case.
Yeah, I just didn't see any of it on my timeline, and I feel like I follow quite a bit of Hobi stans being one myself. So I just feel like I would have saw it, and I didn't see anything. And you know, now I'm on ring watch.
Conversely, maybe Hobi stans are just way more chill and have it a lot more together. Like, yeah, they're not jumping to conclusions.
One day we're gonna be like really bold and do like a like Delulu fan ranking, like within the fandom. It's gonna be really funny. It's gonna be really funny.
I have no comment at this time.
One day we're gonna do it.
I have the right to not self-incriminate.
But yeah, I'm on ring watch. I'm looking at everyone's hands. I just want to see what's going on. Yeah.
Well, I wasn't gonna talk about it, but there have been rumors simmering around the timeline that Dispatch is gonna release their couple thing that they do every year in the new year, I guess. Happy New Year. And out a bunch of couples. And murmurings on the timeline are that a couple of members of BTS are included. So I'll believe it when I see it, right? But
yeah,
I think we're all on ring watch, let's say. And I will not dive in deeper than that.
So I'm not going to sit here and act like if it's not any one of the members, I'm going to be like gagged. Like, it doesn't matter who it is, I'm gonna be like, oh, I'm gonna be in shambles, because they've done that to me. They've made me very much delusional. However, as a fandom, I would like, if it really is a thing, I just want to know to like move on at some point, you know? Like, can we just move on? Like, if Namjoon's really married, can we just find out so like we can heal as a collective? Because I'm sick of this. Back and forth.
Yeah, it would almost be better for us to just know.
Exactly.
It would hurt a lot, right? Yeah. But what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. As then they
we can also weed out those who are going to leave the fandom because of it, like really early on. Like I think I shared this with you, like people on Weverse were like, just at the thought of hearing the rumor, were like, I'm done. I cannot do this.
Please go. The door's over there.
So I just want to like, just get the ball rolling. Like if you feel like I have to leave because they're, you know, they're in a relationship with someone, then just go. Like, you know, just have your moment and then pick it back up where you left off, like the rest of us should be doing.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually think, well, I hope Army act somewhat okay. I would like for us to be like better than people, ourselves included, think that we'll be, but I understand the like emotional toll that this could take. But on the flip side, I feel like fan love is actually really pure. I mean, there's some stuff you can't unsee on the timeline, sure. But beyond that, like, I fundamentally don't think, maybe I'm being naive or optimistic, but so rare for me, but I don't think that people's love will change. Like, anyone that's going to invest time and support to someone that, like, doesn't know them personally back, like, that's a very pure and beautiful thing.
Yeah. And then, of course, there's always that very small percentage of people who are like, yeah, no, I do have a chance with them. I'm going to make it happen. And they very much believe it. And they act on it. And those are called saucings. Did you watch the Vanity Fair video? So there was a newer video that they released, and they were going over their like timeline of their career, and it just put, not like I didn't know this because I do think about this often, but it just reminded me of how short BTS's career has been, mm-hmm. and how much they have achieved within a short amount of time. Like they haven't really been around long at all, and they've achieved like almost like a legendary status.
There's definitely a pun there, but I will restrain. yeah, it is crazy. It's crazy what they've achieved in that time period, especially when you consider, like, after what, I Need You was 2015?
Yeah.
Where, like, a lot of the, I won't say achievements, but I'll say awards started picking up. And then, like, from the West, I think we've talked about this before, but I think it was New Year's Eve 2017 or AMAs 2017. And it was, like, the first time I really saw them on TV in America, at least. And I definitely talked about that recently, but like, that was 3 years ago. Like, I know. What a ride.
I know. Like, just seeing how, like, quickly it's picked up and, like, seeing them talk about I Need You made me think about how I was watching that The Show episode. Like, when they got, like, their first win. And I think that's one of the ones that, I'm pretty sure that was one of the ones that I was voting for. And I think The Show is, like, the metrics for the show, it's like easier to win because I think it's like more fan voted than like any other show. So I feel like I remember I was voting like so hard for that show, and I was just like, this has to happen this time, because I was joined with Just One Day, but my first real comeback was like with Danger, and I was just remember watching Danger and being like, there's no reason why they're not winning right now. Like, I don't understand, like what does the public want, right? So I could, like, feel their desperation with I Need You. Like, this is kind of, like, the end for us. Like, if we don't get this, then, like, what else waits for us after this? And I feel like I felt the same way. Like, they have to win this time. So, like, seeing that win was just so mind-blowing. And to see them go from there now, like, not even thinking that I could be in, like, the same, like, atmosphere. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're in the same atmosphere, but like not even like the same space as them. Like to actually having them like be in like America and like promoting,
yeah,
it just blows my mind. Like just seeing how far they've come in such a short amount of time.
I think we've talked about this before, but I know what you mean about atmosphere. Like whenever I go to a concert, I'm always like, oh my god, we're in the same city. Like we exist in the same place at the same time. And like, yeah. I would never run into them in New York, but it's just this feeling of connectedness. Or like whenever I'm way too in my army feels, or like way too Delulu, I just remember like we exist at the same time and place, and that's enough.
I know.
Not to be like emo about it.
It's hard sometimes, like you're watching someone on TV so much, like if they don't feel real, but they obviously are, right? So yeah. Like actually seeing them in person, like I just had to like take a moment when I saw them like for the first time in concert, like okay, like that's them. They look really small, but like I can tell that that's them. Like they're really here, and I'm like genuinely looking at them right now, like not through my phone,
yeah,
not through my laptop, not through my TV, like they're like really like right in front of me performing right now.
I think every army who goes to a concert has that experience where you're like, oh my goodness, they're real? Like, these people exist?
Yeah, it's very surreal. Which made it even more heartwarming to see them perform I Need You on KBS Songs Festival. Look at these transitions.
So smooth. Wow. Smoothest. Yeah. Dang. So
KBS Song Festival happened last night, and so they performed I Need You, Life Goes On, and Dynamite. And there was some speculation about what songs they would perform because they have performed B-sides on KBS Song Festival before. I think this is where they performed Home, so people were like, oh, maybe they'll perform Disease, but they performed I Need You, and they were back in those like sailor like outfits. Mm-hmm. Except the shorts were missing on most of them, and I was like, this is a disservice. Like the shorts were the highlight.
Wow. I like, as a fashion statement in my own life, I really hate shorts. Like you will never catch me wearing shorts. The only acceptable wearing of shorts is for I Need You, I guess. I guess.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, no, I'm not even gonna say it, just so we don't have to edit it out.
Yeah, anyway, just, girl, we all know, just you don't have to say it.
It's just, I just wanted to see it again, maybe one more time, but it's okay. And, you know,
you're like, I need outside. These, like, 2020 comparisons.
I mean, updates. Some people have made gains, like, I'm just saying. Anyway, so
abort mission. Abort.
I just really, really wanted to, but it's okay. You know, it's cold outside, like their health is more important. And it was still meaningful, like just being able to see like the song that got them their like first win perform again after they've achieved so much in the last few years.
Jimin and that little beret really took me back. I'm not going to lie.
So cute.
That one photo shoot in particular. You all know the one I'm talking about.
Yeah. And, like, he's definitely, like, matured since then, but he still, like, looks so youthful. And it's just it's so
drop
cute.
The skincare routine, please.
Exactly. I also really like the other two performances. I liked Dynamite. I felt like they were, like, cruising down, like, the streets of Miami. So, it, like... It felt like Florida to me, so that was nice. Also, I really like their outfits that they had on for Life Goes On. Like, these, like, peplum, like, suits that Jungkook and Tae had on. I'm like, okay, waist wear? Like, it was just... they just looked so angelic. It was very... I don't know, sweet. It was just nice.
I'm not going to lie, at the end of the year, I have a very hard time keeping track of all these performances. Like, I woke up today, and it was all these, like, fan cams and clips and, like, little videos of members on KBS, and I was like, what? Like, where are these from? Like, granted, I have had a really busy and really stressful week at work, but it's like, you wake up and there's all new content. I'm sure many iARMY can relate, right? There's no way
that someone has caught every single performance. And if you have, I like bow before you. Because I was like, oh, there's a performance today. Like, oh, we had homework. Like that kind of energy.
I didn't even know that it was coming. I knew it was coming on, but I didn't know when it was coming on. So I was pretty shocked when I woke up this morning. And at first, I wasn't seeing BTS on the timeline at all. So I was like, are they splitting this up into multiple days? But like, no, it was really like just really long. BTS came on like really late.
We learned our lesson with Mama.
Yeah, exactly. So not surprised there. The last thing that I will bring up was the on practice video that they posted this week. So I feel like with some of their performances that they do on television, sometimes like the I don't know if it's the essence of or like the details that go into their performances can get lost, like with the camera work and things like that. So I really appreciate that they put this practice video so that you could really like see like everything. The camera work was great here. I felt like it showed it how it was fully intended to be. I mean, of course, seeing it like on the football field was like astronomical, like actually seeing it like that, but actually being able to see the performers, like seeing every detail, like what they were wearing, like every move being hit, just really satisfied me. They were like dancing full out, and I mean normally they always dance full out, right? But I think because they didn't have to sing, they were like going 10 times harder. Like Jungkook in particular was dancing like he had to put food on the table, like he had mouths to feed. It was crazy. I was like, this guy is going. I was afraid he was gonna break his neck at one point. That part in like the chorus where they like swing their necks around, I was like, this guy is going in.
Be like, oops, I pulled a vertebrae in my neck.
Exactly. It was also sweatpants galore. Like, I don't know what was going on.
Wait, what? I have to leave right now. I just remembered this thing I have to go to.
Except for Tae, who was always business ready, which I really appreciate. Like, because you never know when a deal is going to need to go down. And I applaud him for being comfortable enough to dance in that caliber in, like, a pantsuit and, like, a blazer. I don't know how he does it. And those shoes, they have to be uncomfortable, but somehow he pulls it off. Like, king, I have to crown you for that one.
I saw a tweet. I know we're not at our funny tweet section, but it fits here. And it was like, Tae was like, it's like, Tae, make me stand out. And it was like, stylist, say no more. And it's always how, like, if they're casual, he's, like, formal. Or, like, when they're all in suits, he's in the hot pink suit. So, exactly. Yeah, Tae's always doing his own thing.
Yeah, he's gonna stand out. Yeah, like the dancing was great, like the little breakdown was great. There was one part where I'm pretty sure Hobi was like crumping, and I'm like, this is awesome. I did not notice this when I watched it the first time, so seeing this, it was just great. It also made me miss Yoongi even more. Because that part where like he should be singing and they're like doing the whole drum thing, I'm like, something's missing here. But like, obviously, I'm just waiting on him to come back. But yeah, great performance. You'll have to definitely watch it after.
It's funny because Yoongi was posting on Weverse this morning, like, oh, it's just like old times, or like,
yeah. Also on did not get what it deserved.
No.
So I was glad to see like a stage in this caliber. I'm like, okay, this is what like on was meant to have from the start. So
yeah, I do wonder, like, it came out at like the end of February, or I think third week of February, and I do kind of wonder if like Map of the Soul 7 is going to go down as kind of like a forgotten album in a way. We had all that hype with Persona, like, not because it's not great. Like, I love Map of the Soul 7, right? No, but I just think the timing with the pandemic, I do wonder if it's going to be like an underrated album, like,
which is so upsetting because it's so good. Like, It's so good. Like, everything about it was just, like, the attention to detail, like, the planning, like, the whole Connect BTS thing that went along with it.
Like, I'm still mad about that. Like, I was supposed to go to New York and see that installation.
I know.
I'm just so salty about that, crazy. Actually. Well, you did skip one topic we still have to talk about, and I want to make sure we talk about it because I can actually speak to it.
Oh, okay.
Dispatch Daikon photos?
Yes, I was skipping it in the interest of time, but...
No.
Let's do it. All right. So, I think Daikon is Dispatch Magazine's magazine.
I think so.
That didn't sound right. So, I think Daikon is a magazine... under Dispatch, right?
Yeah.
Which I didn't know was a thing. But they have one. Yeah. And BTS are on the cover of that magazine. And so they've been doing these promos that start off like really sweet and angelic. And then the whole mood changes. And it's like, I can't even say without like having to censor myself. It's a lot. Let's just put it that way. It's a lot.
I was confused why people were, like, mad about the annual Dispatch leak and then, like, loving on the Daikon photos at the same time. I was like, well, you know, like, these are the same.
You like, know what? That is very true.
The same people are making money from it, so, but the Daikon photos are always super high quality. Always. It didn't even occur to me that that was, like, something we could buy here, but times they are a change in, and I saw these people, like, we're buying it, and I was like, like, I want to, but I did not.
Why is this, like, my first time ever hearing of Daikon? Have they done, like, shoots for Daikon before?
Yes. Like, they did one, I think, in New York that are, like, beautiful. They're on a rooftop, and it's, like, a city aesthetic. It may be LA. They followed them around before. I actually thought that Daikon... This sounds so bad. I don't know if we want to cut this, but like, I thought the Daikon photo shoots are always like top tier, like extremely top tier. So I kind of thought it was Big Hit, like in a low key way, paying off Dispatch. Like, even in other years, like in 2018, the Daikon shoot was absolutely nuts as well.
Oh, okay. I guess I've been seeing the photos and not realizing who was putting it out, but, yeah, I mean, they looked, I can't even, like, formulate words. They looked really good. That's what I'm going to say.
I'm always like, I am not delusional. I am not delusional. I am not delusional. I'm not delusional. Ah! Like, leave me alone.
Yeah, great way to promo. I thought it was interesting. I thought Dispatch was like mad at BTS.
I mean, they probably are. They're like, well, if you're not gonna give us any juicy deets, I guess we'll take a photo shoot.
Yeah, that's interesting. Maybe that was just like some fandom generated rumor, but
why would Dispatch be mad at BTS for making them tons of money? Because BTS don't get into trouble?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if it was that or they were trying to like get dirt on them or the contract was up. I don't know. I really don't know the origins of that rumor. I really don't. But yeah. Here we are. Good photo shoot.
It's like they spread it out every day, right? So you never know who you're getting. Or at least I wasn't tracking it. And then I was like bombarded by super high quality photos. And I'm just like sobbing in the middle of the night when I'm looking at Twitter.
I don't know. I don't know what times they were released, but it started from like youngest to oldest, but leader at the top.
I guess I was just seeing whatever people like retweeted.
Yeah.
Also, the retweet function is back. God bless. Not everything is quote tweet.
Sometimes bullying works.
We do not endorse this for legal reasons.
I'm just saying, sometimes it works. Twitter made that happen. I still instinctively try to like put my thumb to the top of my screen to like go and quote tweet because I've gotten so used to it now.
Yeah.
And now it's back to normal. I have to like rewire my brain function.
Isn't it scary how quickly we can be trained? It's alarming.
Exactly. Just leave stuff alone. There was nothing wrong with that button. Now give us a way to sort our bookmarks and I will leave Twitter alone. That's all I want.
I hear a lot about edit tweet, which I kind of want for my own typos, but I feel like there would be a weird like accountability issue there.
Yeah, no. Because people would like edit their tweet later and then make other people that have quoted them like look stupid or something. Like that would really like become fake news per se.
Yeah.
Like it would get bad.
I can live with my dumb typos as a Virgo, exactly. Though it kills me to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of Twitter, do you want to do our funny tweets?
Yeah, we can. I kind of shared mine already with like Tay always looking like different doing his own thing. But there's been a lot of good tweets lately.
Okay, I have two. Someone was like, should we say their actual at? Because like we're using their tweet anyway.
Yeah, sure.
Anyway, so this is at BTS. I think that's supposed to be YEH. And this person said, I miss seeing BTS playing on the Bouncy Castle every week at 144p. I'm like, this is a very like specific memory that I also miss now that you brought it up. Yeah. Yeah, I really do miss touring like BTS on tour and like watching those like really, really poor quality streams of the tour.
Yes, I agree.
I'm going to share one more. And this is from June's JJK. I think I'm reading that right. Anyway. They said, yeah. So, can I even say that? They were like, I'll say this. They were like, yeah, so what the heck was this all about? And it's a quote from, like, Jimin telling the story. And he's like, ghosts are scary. And that one time, he was taking a shower in the dorm when he was a trainee, and he felt something. He revealed he was washing his hair standing up, and suddenly he felt someone passing between his legs. And Jimin calls out, thinking it was Namjoon, but no one replied.
What?
And when no one replied, Jimin hurried to see who it was, and no one was there. I found all of them asleep. He revealed talking about the members. I've never told this to the members. They would never believe me. Jim is then laughing. Now, I've heard this story before, but I did not like put two and two together. Can I ask why he thought?
I know.
I can't even spit it out.
You're really trying to kill me today. Yeah.
Why did he think that? Why did he think that someone, one of the members, would be going between his legs while he's in the shower?
I just feel like once you've had seven guys live together in like specifically in a one bedroom apartment, like when they started out, you would just have very, very, very poor boundaries.
And out of all people, why do you think it was not true?
Yeah.
Oh my god, that's so so like part of that is like not weird for me. The weird part is that why do you think someone was crawling underneath his legs? And I really want to know why Namjoon of all people has Namjoon done that before. Like why?
They're just people? It might be a no context conversation.
Was he like, like, I'm scared, and the first person I can think to call out to is Namjoon. What's Namjoon gonna do against a ghost? Let's talk about that for a second. I just don't see
him. I feel like Namjoon would be like, is there truly an afterlife? A philosophical discussion, and the ghost would be like, nah, I'm out. Bye.
I'm now imagining Namjoon battling a ghost in the shower.
This is just too much. I don't have any reactions. that I can verbalize at this time.
I'm real life crying. You don't have FaceTime on, so you can't see, but it's a stream of tears. Oh, that was a good laugh. I needed that. Anyway.
I saw multiple tweets about Jungkook and his dad this week, and, like, Jungkook's mom, like, just was like, well, his dad was handsome, so I went for it, and all these people being like, Jungkook's mom, the, like, true MVP.
Like, yeah, and there was, like, pictures of him, like, comparing him and a picture, older picture of his dad. I'm like, oh, he, like, really has everything from his dad's face except for his eyes. So I'm assuming he has, like, similar eyes to his mom. Oh, it's very interesting, genetics, and how they work out. Yeah, well, let's end it here. The next episode will be a special one, so I hope that you will tune in. That will also be our last episode of the year. This episode is going to be coming out just before Christmas, so if you are celebrating, Merry Christmas to you. And thanks for listening.
Yep, I'll say happy holidays, even if you don't celebrate. And happy new year. Be safe and well. And you'll hear our year closeout episode, I guess, next time. Very excited. Lots of fun energy.
Yeah. Yeah. Please do follow us on our social media pages. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Girls With Fun Pod. And you can find us on Facebook at the Girls With Fun Podcast. So please join us. Send in any questions you may have, any comments. We do respond back pretty promptly, I would say. And yeah, that'll be it for today's episode. We hope that you enjoyed it, and we will be back again next time.
Bye.
Bye.